Radio.
Yes, Adam right here in your ear with the last Thursday of the month program for your listening enjoyment, for your humor, and anything else that we can bother to muster up. I'm also doing a live Facebook video, so if you're a friend of mine or you'd like to become a friend of mine, or for some other way you have a way to view my live video, please do so. You can see me in the studio doing the program, and kind of cool to hear me take phone calls on the air and talk to my guest, who I will introduce very soon. Phone number is 740-383-WWGH. That's 800, not 800. We don't really have toll-free calling anymore. That kind of shows how long I've been using telephones. It's 740, which is probably a local call, whether you're in Fairbanks, Alaska, Marion, Ohio, Marion, Indiana, or Grove City, Ohio, wherever you might hang your hat or other headgear. 740-383-9944. Adam here on the Talking Place until the 1 p.m. hour, taking your phone calls, answering questions, comments, and complaints, and introducing my esteemed guest. He is in the studio with me just about every last Thursday of every month, Mr. James Anderson, the naturalist extraordinaire of the Marion area. You know, James, as we were talking about, this is one of those days where it starts out nippy. In fact, there was frost in parts of this area, low 30s, mid-30s, and already it feels kind of like summer, but by the time the dinner bell rings, it's going to be well in the 60s, maybe a little higher in parts of our area. Do you kind of like this changeable weather? I mean, you go to the bathroom and suddenly it seems like it's gone from winter to spring.
Oh, I mean, I prefer the warmer weather, but I mean, hopefully that'll be pushing out for too long, the cold.
Yeah, I mean, this time of the year, April showers, which we're going to get starting possibly later today, yeah. Bring May flowers, and we're in a period not only where it gets warmer every day, we're gaining much as a degree every day, but also getting a lot more daylight, 1 to 2 minutes earlier for sunrise and 1 to 2 minutes later for sunset. And by the time mid to late June rolls around, the sun will not set until several minutes after 9. It'll rise several minutes after 6, and twilight lasts at least an hour. So if you like daylight, you probably have come to the right place. Yeah. James, tell us briefly about yourself for those who have not had the chance to hear you on the air with me or Charlie or Glenn or Scott or anybody else in the past. I'm not sure what they're missing. They really should, but in case they haven't, maybe someone who's new to the area, new to the station. Tell us a bit about yourself. I feel like you're on a game show, and a game show host is asking, tell us about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm the park naturalist for the Marion County Park District, so I'm in charge of the county parks here in our wonderful county, and those parks include Tallgrass Trail, Paradise, Myers Woods, Greenspur, and the Caledonia Nature Preserve. So I've been a naturalist for 13 years, but I've been with the park district going on 8 years in May, so boy, it's hard to believe, almost a decade, so I've been really honored to be the park naturalist here in Marion, but my overall focus is to get people out to the parks, out to nature. I can come out to your facility and do programs, or you guys can come out to our parks for field trips.
So you have many ways to interact with the public. You've been on the station almost since you got hired.
Initially
back at our studio at the mall.
Yes, yeah.
Before we get to the program, we want to talk about something that certainly relates to anybody who goes on the air. Certainly, James, it's been a very rough few days for people in the talk show business.
Yeah.
Mr. Carlson, I'm sure, not Mr. Carlson from WKRP, but Tucker Carlson, he is going to be on the unemployment line, but I don't think he has too much to worry about financially, considering how much he was making, but we'll find out where he might land. Don Lemon, I'm not Lime, but Dr. Lemon, Mr. Lemon, no longer is employed. Also, with the place he was employed with, which I think was CNN, so again, not Lime, Mr. Lemon, that was kind of my pun, you know, lemon and lime. Wasn't a very good joke.
I like that.
It was kind of sour, actually. He will be hanging his hat and using a microphone at a different facility. Do you watch Tucker Carlson at all, James? Everybody's got an opinion about the guy. Where do you think he's going to land? Do you think he might start his own network? You think maybe he'll hook up with Donald Trump and do a debate? Linda's co-host was telling me maybe he and Don Lemon should be on like a point counterpoint like they used to do on 60 Minutes. That would be kind of cool because they probably wouldn't get along very well.
Oh, you know, to be honest, I'm not sure. Maybe he might start his own program or his own show.
Yeah, whatever he does, I think it'll be delicious. But on a much less positive note, let's put it that way, talk show host who's also elicited much controversy. He's from Ohio, and everybody's heard of him, and that's Mr. Jerry Springer. I understand he has passed away, the age of 79. Wow. Dr. Ron Feynman actually told me, my other frequent co-host, microphone mate, and brother in broadcasting, you know, Jerry Springer, James, someone else who elicits controversy. I mean, love him or hate him, honestly, the show got less than serious after the initial more serious methodologies. Very smart man. He was mayor of Cincinnati. He had an infamous incident where he bounced a check to someone he really shouldn't have bounced a check to. He shouldn't bounce the check at all, but you shouldn't bounce it to the person that he bounced it to. He had a core TV program, and you know, I got an autographed picture of Jerry Springer. And yes, before you ask, of course, the interviewer to the stars, Scott Spears, had interviewed Jerry Springer.
He's done it all.
If you're anybody, you have been interviewed by Scott. Dick Cavett, still with us, Phil Donahue, and they're on regularly. Sam Donaldson, you know, called to wish him a happy 40th birthday when he turned 40 a couple of years ago. I mean, he's on all the time. Eleanor Clift, I mean, if you're a talk show host, you know, maybe Tucker Carlson would like to be on the air here. I mean, he talks to famous people or just kind of gives commentary, whereas Scott talks to people that Tucker probably would like to talk to. So maybe Tucker will knock on the door and ask for a job. That would be kind of cool.
I bet Scott could have connections.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. But yeah, but anyway, we send our condolences to the family of Mr. Jerry Springer, someone I think who's influenced anybody who's in talk radio. Again, love him or hate him, a smart man, an Ohioan, and he's influenced the whole sphere of broadcasting, whether or not you actually have a style similar to Jerry Springer, because he really is one of a kind.
Yeah.
21 minutes after the hour of 12 here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, Adam Lepp live in studio, taking your calls at 740-383-9944. Mr. James Anderson is sitting across from me, and I'm also doing a live video on Facebook if you'd like to see my pretty face while we do this program. One thing about when you're on, James, first we ask you to talk about yourself like you're on a game show. Now let's go back, I guess in your case, about 25 years when you were in elementary school, and you had show and tell. Did you have show and tell when you went to school?
Yes, sure did.
Well, you know what, James? We're going to turn the clock ahead from there, quarter of a century, and we're going to have show and tell again. And, you know, maybe used to bring in, I'm not quite sure, you know, if someone interested in nature, you might have brought a frog, and who knows? I guess, interestingly, what you're bringing for show and tell today probably isn't much different than you might have brought 25 years ago when you were in elementary school. You got a green leafy type thing there, Maggie. Tell us what that is, and why is it interesting for today's episode of Show and Tell on the Adam Lepp Radio Extravaganza?
Yeah, so it's the common blue violet. It's a very common species that you can find across Ohio and Marion County. I know right before the show you were mowing, and I probably ran over one of these guys, and these guys are native to Ohio. I know when you're thinking about these guys, oh, they're a weed. Well, I try to tell people that, yes, they can get a little noxious. They can be considered weed, but they are very important for our local pollinators. Now, when you think of that, about that, you're thinking, what about the dandelions? Yes, dandelions are nice, but they're not native to North America. They're actually from Europe, but were brought over here a long time ago. But things like violets and spring beauties, I mean, these are the things that we need for our local pollinators. Mason bees and sweat bees will pollinate these guys. Now, they are edible. You can eat the petals. You can eat the leaves. I'll admit the leaves, as they get bigger, they're bitter. But the younger leaves are a little bit sweeter.
Bigger and bitter.
Yeah, bigger and bigger. Yeah. So then the petals are edible, too. You can eat them raw. You can...
Edible petal.
You can dip them in syrup, pure maple syrup. Mm. Put some sugar on it, make some candy. You can make some lemonades. You can make a jam from it if you cool it down after steeping it in hot water and put pectane in it. I have had phylet jelly before. There's about 800 different species of phylets in North America, across the world. But in Ohio, there's actually 30 species. Now, all these phylets come in all different colors and habitats and everything, but the most common one is the most purple-blue color. But if you go out to Paradise Nature Preserve, you may find the yellow phylet, the cream phylet. But yeah, the big thing I really wanted to talk about today is, you know, even though we don't like them, you know, they are important for us, they are important for local pollinators, and if you can, you know, leave them be. But I know if you have to spruce up your yard, mow your yard, I like to mow around them, so I give the pollinators a chance in my area, but I know not everybody has that opportunity, so the leaves, I forgot to mention too, if you put them in stews and soups, it's a thickening agency. The Native Americans really use this for medicinal properties. They used to make like a skin ointment to help with different rashes. They also would make a tea to help with respiratory problems. So it's actually high in vitamin A and vitamin C, so it's got some nutritional value. But yeah, other than that, that's kind of just the basic facts about the common blue phylet. And like I say, you'll see them bloom right now, but in the next few weeks, the blooms will start to disappear. But yeah.
Yeah, they're ground cover, and we see a lot of them.
Yes.
And basically, as we've talked about, it's only a weed if you don't like it. Dandelions, they don't last too long in the yard. They're invasive, but you can't eat them. I think they're attractive, but sometimes they overtake the yard. It's just really your own assessment. The violets are nice as ground cover because they do flower, and they do attract bees, and we do need bees. They may buzz and they may sting, but we do need them for the world to exist. And the purple-blue color is attractive. And you can keep them as part of your ground cover, as a native species, if you choose to do that. They don't have to be thought of as an intruder.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's pretty much the way a lot of gardening works. We're going to talk about gardening, as I've been doing some myself, and it's kind of the beginning of gardening season. And one thing that is fascinating, James, about gardening, about deciding what to plant where, mowing, planting flowers, and all that good stuff, is even this area is pretty diverse in terms of what climactic zone or hardiness zone you're in. Depends how hilly you are, how rural it is, and also, of course, if the plant is especially sensitive to frost or to cold. You live in Morrow County, it's more rural.
Yes.
This morning was probably a good case in point. Marion, I think, was about 33. I mean, here in the inner city, probably 33, maybe closer to 30, 32, 31, going out of town a little bit. Do you have a thermometer? Did you check your temperature at your house? Because you live in a more rural part near Mount Gilead.
Yeah, my car said, I think it was like 38, 39 degrees.
So it was actually maybe a little warmer. So sometimes it may not follow what you would expect. It was about 34 at my house, and I did buy some flowers and plants, which are somewhat sensitive. I think I may have over-dramatized, but I wasn't quite sure, because sometimes the weather isn't always right.
Yeah.
So just to be sure, I covered some, and I put some I hadn't planted yet, as well as some that were in baskets in the garage. As we're in this transition period, James, frost can occur any time through May, but normally in this part of the state, it's around the 1st of May. So we're right at that point.
Yeah.
Any advice for gardening in terms of what you should plant, when you should wait? I mean, if it is warm in early April like it was, you're tempted to plant something, and then suddenly we got a cold snap. Is it okay to do that as long as you cover them if it gets cold, or bring them in if they're in pots? Any kind of gardening advice for folks, especially as we do have these microclimatic differences that, again, in the inner city, it may be a little more predictable than being in a rural area.
Yeah, I think you kind of hit the key points. But yeah, if a plant is very cold sensitive, I would definitely cover them up, or if they're in a pot, bring them in. Especially like orchids. Orchids are very sensitive to temperatures. But not like the wild orchids. I mean, they can handle it because they're adapted. Now, of course, you may have some vegetables or other flowers that may you know, you can't bring them inside the house. But I would definitely wait until after the first week of May, because that frost period will be gone, or should be gone. Now, of course, like you mentioned, we always have a possibility. But if you do decide to plant early, I would recommend, yes, you may want to cover. Now, they may make it. Some plants are more tolerant to the cold than others. Some are a lot more sensitive than others. So every plant species just have their own differences. It's kind of like people.
Yeah, because a plant, like almost everything, is mostly water, the water freezes. But if it's just 32, 33 for half an hour, that's often how it is.
And
the minute the sun comes up, it just shoots up like it did today.
Yeah.
15, 30 minutes, it's like you going outside, you know, to get the newspaper, wearing your bathrobe, and it's 20 degrees outside. You're not going to freeze. Versus you're not going to go take a walk when it's at that temperature. So plants are similar, and some are cold weather tolerant, some like cold weather.
Yeah.
Some depends on the sun, the shade. So if you like I did, I went to a greenhouse in the area. Ask the people there. They are very knowledgeable. They want to help, and they can certainly give you recommendations for what to plant, when to plant it, and what would be a good instance to bring it inside. And also how long the growing season would be. First frost in this area, typically early to mid-October. But again, we have the microclimatic differences. And one thing, too, James, about the October frost, the days have gotten shorter. As a third week of September, the nights are longer than the days, versus now, the days are quite a bit longer than the nights.
Yeah.
So that's also part of it, is it likely not to be at that near-freezing point for quite as long.
Yeah.
But again, there are the pumpkins, I mean, the plants that certainly might thrive in the colder weather. But ask your greenhouse, of course, look online, ask someone you know has a green thumb, and do some experimenting, because every time you do work with nature, you learn something, be it flora, fauna, or whatever else might be going around. So in your garden, James, and your abode, anything you're doing, anything you're growing? Or
we do a raised garden. I think this year we're going to plant more zucchinis because of my Russian tortoise. She loves zucchinis. I brought her here at the radio station last year, and instead of buying them from the store, we said, you know what, we're going to grow our own this year. So I have in the past. It's been a while since I've grown zucchinis, but I'm excited to do that again.
Do you eat them? Your tortoise or your large turtle eats them.
Yes, she eats them, and then whatever she doesn't eat, I'll probably eat.
Make bread. Salad or zucchini bread.
And now the other unhealthy version, you can fry them. You can dip them in egg and flour and fry them. But zucchini bread, that's a very good. And also too, we saute it, put in like with chicken or with steak. It's pretty good.
Groundhog, you've eaten groundhog.
Oh yeah.
Groundhog and zucchini, that could be.
It could.
Very, very fascinating, very native, and can't beat the price.
That's right. I mean, could be a delicate dish.
With all the cost of groceries, it's a good idea to garden. Doesn't cost anything other than a small amount of water and maybe some of your time.
Yeah.
Steaks, what have you. So zucchini would be one of your native type fruits or vegetables to grow in this area.
Yeah.
Strawberries too, just things that are kind of friendly to this area.
Yeah. Now, like for my raised garden, we do a lot of herbs, and we do some peppers, things like, and of course, tomatoes. We have about four or five tomato plants in pots. So
tomatoes are pretty simple. I think pretty hard to mess up growing a tomato, even if your thumb isn't quite as green. Kind of like myself. About 33 minutes after 12 here at The Talking Place, taking your phone calls, doing a live video on Facebook, 740-383-9944. If you have questions about the animals in this area, about what's going on with the park district, or about plants, about invasive species, invasive animals. We talked about coyotes before. You might see one walking down Prospect Street in Marion.
Yeah.
So if you do, obviously don't try to pet it. Just respect him. He's more afraid of you than you are of him. So give me a ring. Be happy to hear from you. Now, as we get into the warmer part of the year, James, through September, we're pretty much in the warm warm area. With me being a northerner, I mean, if it's above freezing, that's considered warm temperatures to me. There are more things and a bigger diversity of things going on at the park district.
Yeah.
I know you had, I think one of the events, the frog event possibly, you had to cancel.
Yes.
Yeah, it was raining or...
It got a little cold too. It was like 33 degrees. So
what have it, tell us about the events that have, and I think there's an event coming up very soon, if not today.
Yes.
Tell us about the events that have taken, kind of surprised that I knew that, the events that have taken place earlier this April at the Park District, about the event and about the event today, then we'll get into the what's going on in May.
Sounds good. So so we had a sandhill crane survey. We counted 5 cranes in our blocks, so that was very exciting. So the Ohio Division of Wildlife and the Ohio Bird Conservation Initiative, they'll be making a map of what's going on with the sandhill crane population in Ohio. Sandhill cranes are a threat species in our state, so it means our populations aren't doing the greatest. They're not yet endangered, but we don't want them to get there yet. But then we also, last weekend, we had the Celebrate Trails Day event. We are part of what's called the Rails to Trails program. It's through the Rail Trails Conservancy, since Tallgrass Trail was once the Erie Lackawanna Railroad bed, and now, you know, it's the Marion Tallgrass Trail. So they do things all across the nation, and they ask, hey, would you guys be willing to do something? We say, well, sure. So we had hikes, we had a bike demonstration, and we sent some come-as-you-go activities, and we had some people that came out. We had about 23 people. We had kids that came out and filled out our scavenger hunts, and it was a good time. It was a little on the cold side. It wasn't warm like today, but hey, I was happy to have 23 people. But some of our other programs, you know, we have a couple here and there, and then like for today, we have our wildflower program at the Myers Woods Nature Preserve at 5:30 p.m., so if you're into wildflowers, I would recommend coming out to that, because there's a lot of cool things out there. A lot of the spring ephemerals, and if you're not familiar, spring ephemerals are just the flowers that are out just during that short springtime, and then once the leaves start coming out on the trees, then those guys start to disappear. So, but yeah, that's kind of what happened in the month of April.
So wildflowers, I guess the violets are kind of like wildflowers.
No, they are, yep.
Again, are they a weed or not? I mean,
no,
wildflowers are beautiful.
They're a wildflower.
So, again, the line between weed and not weed, there are things certainly that obviously aren't considered weeds, like roses. They're a little harder to grow in some cases, the tulips, but, you know, these violets, it's what you make of it. And wildflowers are easy to plant. They generally are perennials, not necessarily, but...
But most are,
generally.
Yeah.
I know you can go to Menards or Walmart and just get a whole bunch of seeds and just throw them on your yard. That's what I've done. And you have a nice garden of wildflowers, which tend to come back every year. They don't require a lot of maintenance. They will attract bees and other beneficial beings. And they sometimes kind of surprise as to exactly what you're going to get when they mix up those wildflower seeds.
The only thing you have to be careful about those is a lot of those wildflowers are not native to Ohio. They're native to other places. And so our local pollinators may have a hard time recognizing them as a potential food source. So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So unfortunately, the actual plants that are native to our area, they don't really sell much seeds or seed packets, but there is a native plant nursery. There's actually a couple around our area. There's one in Morrow County called Natives in Harmony. She has a great selection. And then there's one out in Delaware County called Scioto Garden. So they have some good selections of native plants you can plant in your area. And of course, you know, everybody's property is different. Some have full sun, some are fully shaded, some have more wet properties, some have more dry. And what's really nice about Natives in Harmony is she has a selection of, you know, what your yard is like, and I guarantee she has something that could at least grow there.
So the bees, they're smart enough to know that it's not a native species, so they're not going to pollinate.
They may visit it, but they have a hard time recognizing it. It's kind of like if you went to a foreign country and no one was there to help you, and you were hungry and you were trying to find food and you didn't really recognize it as food. You might try it at first, but for a while you may like, well, do I really want to eat it? So it's just being that recognition.
So we have Ohio bees, which have different tastes and lifestyles than Alabama bees.
Yes.
Didn't even know that. You know, you learn something new every day, folks, especially when you listen to this program. You'll laugh, you'll take notes, and realize, well, your brain is going to be thankful for being a part of this radio program extravaganza. Again, take your phone call, 740-383-9944. Those are the digits. James Anderson, the official naturalist of this area and environs nearby, is my guest in the studio. We talked about the blue violets. He brought a sample with me, and I think when you mow, you're likely to mow over some of them.
Yes.
It's an obvious plant. Also, you know, the hay fever. I like, I think most people here have a hay fever to a degree, the sniffly allergies.
Yeah.
Which of these plants, I mean, the goldenrod, the ragweed, some of these you hear about, but which of these plants are a little less than kind to the sniffles and other allergic reactions that people often get in this part of the country? And what do you do? Do you mow it? Do you buy weed killer, or what's a good strategy to keep your supply of tissues at a reasonable level?
So this time of year, it's primarily tree pollen. So, and then during the late summer, early fall, that's primarily the ragweed. Goldenrod is not much of a problem because goldenrod is actually pollinated by insects, and ragweed is actually gets pollinated through the wind. So that's why during that late summer, early fall, when you get a really bad allergic reaction, is yes, it's the ragweed is the problem, not the goldenrod.
Yeah, that was always my undoing as a kid, and I think it's pretty common. There are just certain plants that are not natural for people to be exposed to, and your nose may be a little less than thankful. But it happens, and we like the diversity and the changeability in the Midwest. If you want the same weather every day, I mean, move to southern Arizona or Florida. I like the variety, and even today, you wake up, you know, it's like, do you put the air conditioner on or the heat? And yesterday I had on both. I mean, goodness sakes, you know, you wake up, it's cold, I mean, it's frosty, and then suddenly it's 70 degrees outside, and you're sweating, and we're supposed to get rain later today.
So gotta love Ohio.
Never quite know. So that's all part of the fun. And we talked about it, James. You're an Ohio guy. You're from southeastern Ohio, and you're living now in Morrow County, but working in Marion County. So you like the diversity of weather. You wouldn't want to live in Fort Lauderdale or Honolulu, where every day is summer. And you
don't think
live
I
in,
could
live in Alaska. Parts of it where it's kind of winter every day.
Yeah,
you kind of like the variety and the amount of rain. You know, Seattle is more mild, for example, but Pacific Northwest gets a lot of rain. I think the variety is good. And you know, as long as it's April, you don't know if you're going to get snow or rain or that grapple or sleet.
Yeah,
or be a summery type day like we've been experiencing of late. But we are expecting some raindrops, April showers later this week as we transition into May, when we we'll hopefully be getting lots of the pretty May flowers. Mm. So tell us, James, at the Park District, where it's going to transition to May on Monday, which is a month from my birthday. Isn't that just lovely? Tell us what you have planned. What's up your sleeve for May at the Park District?
Yeah, so we have all kinds of fun, exciting programs coming up for the month of May. So on the 2nd at 5 o'clock p.m., we have a vernal pool program at the Teradice Nature Preserves. I won't go into too much detail, but basically vernal pools are temporary wetlands, so they're designed to be full in the spring and dry in the summer. Please wear clothes. You don't mind getting wet or dirty, because guess what? We will be going inside a vernal pool. Definitely bring some boots. On the 8th at 4 o'clock p.m., we're doing another Looking for Wildflowers program at the Tallgrass Trail, but starting at the DeCliff section, which is at the 8-mile marker. Now, I will admit, this is going to be about a 5-mile hike because of where the wildflower patch is. It'll be 2.5 miles down, and then obviously we'll have to walk that back. So, again, it'll be a 5-mile round trip. So,
James, we have a call coming.
Oh, we do.
So
yeah,
don't want to interrupt you.
No, that's fine.
I think it's Ted, one of our regular listeners.
Oh,
Ted, how are you doing today?
Well, you two are really knowledgeable on everything that the spring brings. And you know what? Your first subject you're starting on was raised garden. And they can be put on legs and everything. And I think that's the up-and-coming popular thing, because residents in town, out town, anywhere, apartments or what, can have a little raised garden up there with a few boards put together and some fertilizer and some mulch and whatever else they do. Dirt don't work too good in a small little area, because the sun comes out and it cakes up and it don't do it. But you go to the library and and go on the internet and all that stuff that they got available for people. And I think it's really an up-and-coming thing. People thought gardening had to be a big square, and you had to work your tail off to get the vegetables and stuff on it, but it can be any size you want. Working people can really enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you impress me, Ted, as a gardening-type person. What's growing in your garden for the 2023 season?
Well, I got tomatoes, 2 and 3 pounds right now, cherry red tomatoes and everything. I got all that. You know, Adam, you don't want to ask me a question like that because I'll emphasize highly and really stupid answer to you. But you like that. You like to get along. I do everything I want to do. Of course, I'm fortunate. I lived in Marion for 50 years. Now I live in the county for 30 years. And if I kind of keep on going like I am and really enjoy and duck in and out of the house now to listen to you folks, that 20 more years left, I think I'll still be putting a plant in the ground. I think it's the most beautiful thing on earth to see anything come up. And I heard James say about mowing around and stuff of the wildflower. I've done that for the last couple mowings I've done here, and my son come up the driveway and he said, Dad, he said, you missed a few spots there. And I said, well, you know what, Ron? I said, you got to look closely. I said, what part did I miss? He said, I don't know. Those purple flowers and those other flowers coming up through the grass is really beautiful. And he said, you left 2 or 3 nice long strips of dandelions, and then you had the green grass, and then the dandelions and the green grass. And he said, I don't think there's anybody else on this road or even in Marion County that does that. I said, well, I'm kind of a guy that likes to just try little things and let Mother Nature perform and do her duty. And why mow her down? It's just going to be another week or two, and they're going to be gone. So,
yeah.
Anyhow, I put my piece in there. And, James?
Yes?
How about a groundhog? Have you seen one lately?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
I saw a big 6.5-foot one at the Groundhog.
Oh, yeah.
My son lives over in Mara County.
Okay.
So I'll have to ask him. He's got several acres over there in Mara County.
Okay.
But I don't see any dead groundhog on the roads yet.
I saw one by my house. I live out by Chesterville area.
Oh, okay. You're over there a little further from Cardington.
Yeah.
But anyhow, that is my indication. A lot of people don't realize that. If you're driving down the road and if you see 4 or 5 rabbits in an area killed, you'll say, man, well, that's a real rabbit habitat. And any other thing killed, they're there. But one thing you missed today, in driving down the road, you don't see many groundhogs, and that contributes to the groundhog. The coyote, that's an easy prey. A groundhog gets out in one of these fields that haven't been planted yet, and a coyote's got excessive speed and can catch up with that old boy.
Yep.
And that's dinner for him, easy picking, you know?
Yep, absolutely.
But I just wondered how many, since you was in a groundhog suit, really well known for groundhogs.
Yeah. I've seen some around Tall Grass Trail last week, and like I said, around my house, around Chesterville area. Yeah, I've seen quite a few, and I actually saw one on the road that was killed. But
before you ever went into the management of the Tall Grass Trail, I was one, and I'm proud to say, and another fella, and a girl, and 2 little boys. We planted I don't know how many hundreds of small pine trees out through there,
mm-hmm.
Right from where your facility is there,
okay.
On Holland Road. And this is before, I think, legally, they obtained the Erie Railroad bed for buying it and the deed to that. But we worked our tail off and down in that old ballast and had the little pine tree. You know what? After a year, I'd go out there on my own time with my hand mower, and I'd mow around those a little. But then they was just about 6 inches high, and I thought, you know, they'll come. A lot of people say, oh, they aren't going to grow. They think they're going to grow overnight, but they don't. But You know what? They got all mowed down. Have you got any pine trees at all that was planted early in the head trail at Holland Road going down through there?
So when I started the park district 8 years ago, there has not been a pine tree in that area.
Well, I know ourselves there in about 2 or 3 hours, we was a picking and a shoving and a filling in, and we had pine trees all down through there.
Really?
And I'm very, very sorry that we worked our tail off and done that, and that was one of the projects that got misled somehow, and I'd like to see somebody else make a project and get that. And I know you'll have a lot of volunteers, and the smell and the atmosphere of a pine tree staggered down through there, and the brush and stuff like that won't affect them after they get up a little bit. So I just thought I'd mention that and see what your intake would be on that.
Yeah, we always use pine trees. I mean, they provide great shade, so, and great cover for wildlife.
Yeah, pine for pine trees.
Well, I want your opinion. Do you think you ought to have that, or you think that the expenditure is too much and they don't go any further but just having dead timber falling over on the trail and have to have volunteers and stuff like that? Do they replace any trees that would mature later on down for other young people? I mean, people my stuff being 81, why, I know that you got to look in the future. And So is that any projects like that going on? I know we're
not in the books right now, but I mean, that's something we could consider for the future, yeah.
Well, I know. They always said, I think we can consider it. But is there any potential that this is going to happen? It's always, we start projects, but we don't follow through with projects.
Yeah.
And we go get this and we get that, and we try to uplift things, but there's got to be attractions to make uplifts to things.
Yeah. I could talk to our volunteer crew.
Any power to really work on that and see that maybe push things and maybe make it open to the public to know that they're welcome to come out and help out, or you don't hear much about it. You just hear about the tall grass trail. That's all, a bike route or something. And I was just wondering other things. If you go into any meetings that are concerned anymore after the money that's spent purchasing the tall grass trail.
So, I mean, I'm just a park naturalist, but I don't have a lot of power, but I do have a lot of say. So, I mean, I could mention it to my park board, and then especially after our building, our new building will be built, maybe once we figure out where, or once that is done, then where the best place to put a pine tree would be.
Well, you know what? What's this new building? I've never heard of nothing about
it. Oh, you haven't? Oh, okay. Well, you remember what that area used to be. It used to be the county dump. And so as it was done, what happened was it got filled up, and the methane, you know, starts to build up as trash decomposes. Well, the methane is slowly traveling. Now, it hasn't reached there to the building yet, but eventually, I mean, it will. But it can be 5 years. It can be 20 years. It can be 100 years from now. We just don't know. So the EPA told us that, hey, we have to do something because what happened if it reached to the building and if there was a crack and then methane build up and all it would take is one spark and then there you go, kaboom. So so then the EPA is, all right, well, we have to get a building and we have to elevate it up. And so the city of Marion, they technically own that landfill area. And so they are helping with the project to help construct a new nature center building. But yeah, it's going to be 3 feet up above the ground, because once methane hits the air, it dissipates very, very quickly. So construction is supposed to start sometime spring. I have no idea when. I'm hoping here soon, because especially in the summertime, that's our busy season. So that's the plan for right now.
Well, I've had a little time here. I take a little time, and I know I talked to other parts of the program and stuff, and Adam being on here, he's not in the Columbus area. I don't know. Adam, have you ever been out to the Tallgrass Trail?
I've not been. I certainly want to, and I certainly should, but I will soon for sure.
A lot of people can't talk about it because they haven't been there. I hunted all that. I've run trains down that track.
Okay.
And I'm familiar there, and you're talking about the landfill that was there along Route 95, correct?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, well, I used to smell that when I was 7 years old, that wind. They'd burn all their garbage and stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was about 17 and taking trash, that was my job when I worked at one of the car dealerships, and dump it over the hill there. And when I went out there one day, I counted them, and I thought, man, this is wild. 17 or 7 dogs. The dog warden was throwing them out of the back of the pickup, throwing them in the landfill.
Oh, no.
There's a little bit of everything going on, and I know we've corrected a lot of things, but there's a lot of things us older people have seen and growing up.
Oh, yeah.
That the younger folks like yourself and Adam and stuff don't even realize existed.
Yeah.
But that landfill there, and they're going to try to put a building and take taxpayers' money and put it on stilts, and so it won't do what? I don't quite read what you said. On stilts, for what reason?
Well, yeah, the building has to be, yeah, it's going to be elevated 3 feet above the ground. And
for
then,
what reason?
Because of the methane. Because the problem is where the current building is now, when the methane will eventually reach the building, like I said, it could be a long, long time from now. Or it could be...
Excuse me for interrupting. I know we're getting short on time also. You're talking about the building that is connected to the tall grass trail that stands there, that's been there how long, about how many years?
Since 2009. They're off Holland Road.
Yeah, Holland Road. And what are they going to do with that building then?
So that building, what's going to happen is they are going to open up. They're going to, how I understand, they're going to take some of the walls down. So constant air will be in there, so there won't be any, you know, methane can't build up at all.
What are you going to do? Just have something like a shelter house?
Well, there is currently a shelter house now on the one side, but the one goal is, as long as if it can structurally extend the shelter house, but if not, the one side will be a shelter, and then the other side will just be more of an open area, because some of the walls will be tore down.
So the building on the 95 area there, what kind of dimensions you're talking about, similar to what you got on Holland Road?
Wait, can you say that again?
The dimensions on the building that they're proposed to put on stilts on Route 95 area, if you're going west on 95 to the north, is that going to be about the same dimensions as you got there on Holland Road?
It will actually be the same size as the current building now there off Holland Road, but just like I said, just on stilts, basically.
Oh, okay. Well, I know about something about materials and stuff. They go up all the time, so that isn't going to be a big expenditure, or people could do that if you tried to get volunteers instead of having contractors, and I think a lot of people in Marion that might want to do that, notified ahead of time.
Yeah.
And they could build a construction like that in probably a weekend.
True.
Yeah, so I just thought maybe, I don't know, and I don't know about public meetings, about things like that as the county or city and all the people involved that wants to participate and use the tall grass trail. Are they notified or anything publicized about and the expansion of the tall grass trail and helping out? That's the trouble. You get something started, and it kind of fades off. But I don't like to be a complainer, but I like to be a participant in some ideas. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling.
Appreciate your listening and your detailed questions and insight. Call back. Don't be a stranger. Adam here with James, and you were talking about the events coming up in May.
Yes. Yep.
Go ahead and just let us know. We want to be sure people are aware of all the things that you guys do.
Yeah, so
especially this time of the year when it seems like it gets warmer and brighter every day.
Yeah, so the 16th, I think. Oh yeah, excuse me. We were finished on the wildflower section. Yeah, and then on the 16th at 5:00 p.m. we have the trash pickup program at Marion Tallgrass Trail. So we will be providing bags. Just please bring gloves and some water so you don't go thirsty. On the 18th from 4 to 7, we'll be part of the downtown Marion the third Thursday. So come see us on the 23rd at 5 o'clock. We'll be doing a Life Under a Log program at the Myers Woods Nature Preserve. On the 26th, we'll be at the Senior Expo from 11 to 2 at the Kingston Residence of Marion, you know, which sits there kind of behind Rule King. And then on the 30th at 5 o'clock p.m., we have a hike with the naturalists at the Greensburg Nature Preserve. So those are upcoming programs.
Lots of great stuff going on in May, and we encourage people to visit your Facebook page that has photos, previews of coming attractions, questions and comments people have posed, and of course the schedules that you just enunciated to our esteemed listening audience.
Yeah.
James Anderson, thank you again for being with us. He will likely return on Thursday, which I believe is May 25th, and I know that because that's exactly a week before my birthday, so
I'm
getting ready for this not-so-milestone, but certainly important anniversary of my womb exit. Hope you folks enjoy the great spring flora and fauna. Again, be sure to like and regularly visit the Park District's Facebook page. Adam here on The Talking Place coming up to 1 p.m., Adam at WWGH1071.com.
You're listening to WWGH